You're listening to The Impromptu on the Hologram Radio Network, a multifaceted show discussing how technology, art, design, and equality converge on topics that matter most to us. From gaming culture to film and other forms of media, we examine the creative process and how the decisions we make shape our perceptions and lives. This is Alex Knight, and I am joined by Michael Norton. Episode 112, iPhone X Apple Store Launch Day Blunder. This week on the podcast, iPhone X launch day is here, but things aren't rosy for everyone. Michael's 5 a.m. arrival at the Coquitlam Center Apple Store on launch day was not a good experience. Hint, he came home empty-handed. In an unsurprising turn of events, many waiting in line were only buying an iPhone X to resell for a tidy profit. How do we know this? Because everyone that bought two iPhones had Android devices. Normally, a two-item limit per customer is not an uncommon thing in retail, but this time we're talking about a high-priced item that is incredibly popular and extremely supply-constrained. Apple admitted they would not have the same level of quantities we're used to at launch time. Unfortunately for consumers, there's not much that can be done about it. Apple will sell as many as they can to whomever is willing to pay. What is in their power to change is improving the waiting experience. And what about people selling high-priced tickets for a place in line? Yep, that did happen too. Was this just one rogue Apple store, or is it indicative of what most people experience? Stick around to hear our discussion and get all the juicy details. That's coming up next on The Impromptu. So, Michael, just following up last week, you had a very reasonable strategy to go to the Apple Store on launch day for the iPhone X at 5 a.m. sharp to see if you could get your phone. Now, my sources are telling me that things didn't go exactly as you had intended. Can you corroborate this?
Yeah, it was a reasonable plan, but plot twist... Despite the inclement weather, despite it being minus one throughout the night, despite all the snow that miraculously occurred, despite getting up early and getting there at 4:45, not five, I actually got there earlier.
Wow.
There were about 20 to 30 people in line ahead of me.
So a bigger, like, because we were making guesses about what the line would be, but
yeah.
I figured it would be a lot smaller.
Yeah, I did too. I wasn't completely defeated at that point yet, though, because I figured they would have like around 40 or 50 phones, something like that. This was the most awful part of all and kind of misleading.
Okay.
An Apple Store employee came out, counted everybody in the line, went past us, in fact.
Yeah.
And said nothing, implying that everything was fine. He didn't just stop at any point and like lower his arm in a cutting motion and like, okay, everyone passed here. Sorry, we don't have enough phones for the rest of you. You'll have to try again tomorrow.
Right.
Like at no point did he do that.
Okay.
So we thought we'd be okay. Then a little while after that, they started letting people in, though at the start, he said, we have no 256 gig in space gray. So one of the four was not there at all. One of the four SKUs. So I thought, okay, well, they didn't get their shipment of those, but they might have a reasonable quantity of the other three. So then they started letting people in 10 at a time to the confirmed line where they would then choose the phone they wanted, etc.
Yeah.
It was at that point I found out that they were letting people buy two phones per customer.
Wait a minute. So a limit, an already insanely popular, what we know is going to be an insanely popular product.
In limited
that has
supply.
Extremely limited quantities.
Yes.
And they're going to let people buy two copies of each. So what, a lot of people can just resell them for $2,000 on Craigslist?
Because
that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, of course.
In fact, it actually did happen today.
Most likely. And I saw a lot of people ahead and behind me that, yeah, they had Android phones. They did not have iPhones. They did not appear.
And no one questioned. I mean, Apple, I guess they don't care. They just want to sell.
Yeah,
stuff.
Of course.
Like, why? Well, you don't have to have a reason.
No.
But you and I know, I mean, obviously it's kind of suspicious.
Yeah.
Because this afternoon I checked on Craigslist and there was at least one that I saw was $2,100.
Whew.
I mean,
I hope that was the 256 one.
Is there anyone that would actually buy these? Who's going to spend $2,000 on
a
phone?
Well, I mean, if you're desperate enough and you want it right this
second.
If you're
rich, maybe, and you absolutely need it right away.
I guess, maybe.
But on principle alone, I wouldn't.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's extortion.
Those people are scum.
They're just abusing the
system.
Plain
and simple. They're scum.
Yeah.
Like, anyone that would deny somebody that wants to buy a phone to use for themselves just to make a small amount of profit. It's just disgusting.
And
Apple should be doing a better job of cracking down on that shit. Like, A, for a launch like this, it should be one per customer. And B...
No, I agree. I think if you want this phone, you need to be there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's just how it should be.
Yeah, like, I don't care.
Or if there's any other way, and I don't know if they have a way of doing this, but if you're on, like me, I have a family iCloud plan.
Mm-hmm.
If there's any way they can verify somehow with the Apple ID that new phone is going to be assigned to a family member, then that's okay, because that's legit, right? I don't know if they could do that somehow, like pre-activate the iPhone on the other family account. Have a way of logging in to verify that
they could have something in place where it's like, okay, for this early launch window, we're only allowing people with established iCloud accounts to purchase the phone, which would mean that you have to have an iCloud account and it has to have been created longer than 3 to 6 months ago.
Might slow down the buying process, probably.
It would considerably slow it down, but it would prevent anybody from just walking in, buying it, and turning it around on Craigslist or eBay. They're probably never going to do something like that because, A, it would alienate people that are intending to switch. Like, there are people who have Android phones who are fully intending, like, oh, hey, I really want to switch to iPhone 10. It looks awesome, and I want to get one. So those people would be actively discouraged by a rule like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's really difficult, I think, for Apple to really come up with anything meaningful that would prevent these people from buying phones. Like, really, the one thing they can do is just limit it to one per customer. That is one thing that they can do that would crack down on this considerably. So back to my story, 10 people go in, time passes, Apple Store employee comes back out. He says, okay, now we're out of 256 silver. And then about 5 minutes later, he comes back. He's like, oh, and I just found out there's no 64 gig silver.
Oh, Jesus.
So I'm like, okay, so they only have 64 space gray now, and that's it? And everybody's just kind of standing there not sure what to do, because it's like, how many of those do they have? They're not saying. And then he comes back out sometime later, quite a while later, and he lets 5 people in. And at that point, I'm basically like,
it's not looking good. Right.
So then more time passes. He comes back out. Sorry, everyone. We're out of phones. You'll have to try again tomorrow. Blah, blah, blah. And I might have shouted at them, it would have been great if you told us that 10 minutes ago. Because, like, at the point where they probably knew they were going to run out when they said, okay, 5 people come in now.
Yeah.
Like, at that point, just tell everyone else to leave.
Yeah.
Don't leave us waiting there.
Yeah.
You know, I just felt it wasn't handled as well as it could have been. Like, at that point, you could have just said, okay, we have this many phones left. We're going to just go through the line, ask what you want, and that'll be it. And they could have just done that, and I'd have been more okay with it, because then at least they'd have been upfront about it. Instead, it was this like cloak and dagger. Okay,
yeah.
Five people come in now. And then literally like 6 or 7 minutes later, hey, we're out of phones, guys. Sorry.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't know if this is an anomaly or if it was just this store and the way it was handled, but
yeah.
But I've only lined up for an iPhone once in my lifetime.
And
that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what model it was. It might have been a 5S or something. And
6 iPhones before this one, and I have never waited in line.
Well, where I was going with that is just that the waiting in line experience wasn't as bad as what you had.
Yeah.
So like I don't know if this is just indicative of the iPhone 10 launch or what, if maybe it's just that store, who knows.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know about the two device per person thing. I mean, if anyone listening has waited in line for an iPhone before, we'd love to hear from you if you know anything about that limit. If that's is it, like I don't know, if is that a new thing? Like, have they always had this two iPhone per person
limit? I think
it's
fairly recent. Like in the early days, it was definitely one per person.
Like generally, I don't have a problem. Like two is reasonable, but we know, and Apple must know that people are going to buy them for the sole purpose of reselling.
Yeah.
They know how much demand there is for this freaking $1,300 phone.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, half the people in line, they're going to buy one for themselves and then one to resell. Like, they're going to abuse the limit. And it's not fair.
I mean, Apple could, they could ask the person what they're doing with it.
But you can just lie. Like, yeah. that doesn't do anything. The only way to stop it is to only allow one per customer. Though the line I was in, there were a bunch of people that were friends that were hanging out, and they looked to me like they were basically just there to get around the limit. Like,
did you talk to them? Or
I did.
How do you know this?
It just seemed like some of them weren't really like diehard, I wait in line for things.
Well, you kind of have to be diehard fan.
Yeah, but they it
you
seemed
have to
like
be a fan to
it
line
seemed
up
like
early
they were just hanging out with the one person that was in line.
Who knows?
And they kept leaving to get coffee and coming back.
I thought you're not supposed to get out of line.
It was happening all the time in the line.
And so no one was monitoring this from
like,
Apple?
The line was completely unmoderated. People kept like leaving and coming back. And
I guess they can't really do, you know.
Well,
trying to think
it's
the last
a
time
lot I, better organized
if
at
you,
Pacific
if
Center.
You go, if you, yeah, you're right. Pacific Center is definitely a good example of that. It's it is more well organized there. I don't know why.
Yeah, Coquitlam was just a complete clusterfuck.
Yeah, that sounds
to be
terrible.
Honest. Like it was, the line was poorly managed. People were allowed to leave the line and come back. Like if I were running that Apple store, I would have had a roped off section, and if you leave, you're not coming back. And one per customer. That's how it should always be handled.
Were you waiting outside? Were you forced to wait outside in the cold?
Yeah, they didn't let anyone into the mall until they started letting people in 10 at a time.
Okay, so you got there at 4:45.
Yeah.
What time did they let people in?
They started letting people in like close to 6:30.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I would think at the very least, once they opened the mall up and started letting people in, that they could at least have somebody standing there watching.
Yeah. Well, they did sort of, but again, there was no barrier. There was no anything.
It sounds like there wasn't enough communication from staff because what they should have done at the very least, so people are aware, is they should have had somebody like right in the morning say, hey, just so you know, if you leave the line, you're not coming back in.
Yeah, and, but there was nothing to prevent that.
And they should
that.
Have told people, like, no, you don't hold the line for somebody. Like,
yeah.
Don't hold the spot for somebody.
Yeah, but the thing is,
but again, you're right, it is
there
tough
was
to
no barrier,
that.
There were no people watching, right. there was zero enforcement. And
so this was a freaking wild, wild west.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, and the the other great thing, there were these two high school kids that had like spots 6 and 7 in the line or something. And they kept like leaving their place and walking down the line and trying to sell their spots in line to people. Because they obviously couldn't afford the phone.
Yeah.
But they'd been sitting there since God knows when, and they were trying to sell their place in line to people.
I don't know if anyone can really enforce that.
And then the four people in front of me, two of them, they basically bought the spots, and then their other two friends went along with them. So the whole thing was just completely from start to finish. Like,
you know what? I would write a letter to Apple about that, to Apple headquarters.
Yeah.
Because they will probably call that store and say, what the hell happened?
Yeah. You know, honestly, I probably should.
It's a short email, just one paragraph. This is what happened. This is not the kind of experience I would expect. Like, I know you guys can't, like, maybe have someone there watching like a hawk every minute, but this could have been organized better.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's worth it because honestly, if they don't know,
I think
no one complains.
Yeah. I think I will because, yeah.
The store managers,
the
need
Coquitlam
to be held
Center Apple store really dropped the ball.
Yeah.
There.
Like that store, like as much as an Apple store is Apple and they, you know, head office tells them to do certain things, there is a lot of free reign for the store managers. And those store managers, like, they have their own managing styles, and like, they could just not have a very good store manager. Like, I'm just saying this is a hypothetical. Like, maybe
it's hard to say what's
going
on.
Maybe it's the store manager. I don't know, but I'm just saying it is worth sending an email.
I haven't waited in line for the iPhone, but I have waited in line for iPads before.
Mm.
And that was always at Pacific Center. And Pacific Center, they handle it perfectly. There is a barrier.
Yeah.
They have people constantly walking through.
It's funny, smaller store, but they're better organized.
Yeah. Well, because they've been around the longest and they have the biggest turnaround and probably the highest revenue out of any store.
Maybe.
So, I mean, they're on the ball. Like, they know what they're doing. And because it's a small store, they have to very carefully regulate how many people they let in at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, maybe it stands to reason that that's why they're so good at this, because they know to properly manage the line so that it's not chaotic.
Yeah.
So yeah, the experience there has always been really good, but this was just night and day. Mm. So yeah, I probably will be complaining.
We may need to put the question out. Actually, we'll do that right now. If you're listening to this, you know, let us know. Did you wait in line to get an iPhone 10 this week? And if so, what was your experience? I mean, did you manage to get one? If you didn't manage to get one, what happened? What happened down there? I want to hear from people because I'm curious to see if other people had this experience. Have you talked to anyone? Do you know anyone that waited in line in the U.S. or other parts of Canada?
No, not really. I have seen pictures of a bunch of Apple stores, and all the ones that I've seen, they actually had proper lines with, You know the things with the metal pillars and like the fabric thing that stretches across.
Yeah.
Like they had those. Like pretty much every photo of a lineup I saw, they had that. So
that's generally what I'm used to.
Yeah. Like this was just something else. This was just a bunch of people clumped in the general shape of a line, and people leaving,
that
coming
sucks.
Back. Suddenly the line seemed to be way bigger than it appeared to be at the start. So people might have just snuck in. So, I don't know.
So tomorrow's Saturday. What are you doing tomorrow?
Tomorrow I am getting up at 6 a.m. Or well, no, I'm getting up at 5:30 a.m. to be ready for 6 a.m. when reserve and pickup opens online. And hopefully a store here will have inventory in the morning and I'll be able to reserve a phone.
Hmm. Well, good luck. Good luck, buddy.
Yeah.
You're going to need it.
Yeah, I really am. And all because I can't wait 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm crazy. I know.
One can hope that maybe they did get complaints and maybe tomorrow things will be
a little
better organized.
The reserve and pickup is completely different. Like,
It's not
waiting in line.
You won't be waiting in line.
You just go on the website and say, hey, I want this phone and I want to pick it up at this time. And if they have the phone, you're good. And then you just show up.
Watch, you just show up and like, and oh, your name's not in the system. We've never heard of you.
Yeah, I would end up flipping some of those fancy wood tables at that point.
Lose your shit.
Every table's $1,000, huh? It's probably too heavy to flip, actually. It's really solid, high quality wood.
Those are not
wood.
IKEA tables.
Yeah, they are not.
No, they're not like light.
Solid oak or birch or something. Yeah. There's no way you're flipping those.
Yeah.
Plus, I think they're bolted to the floor, which is made of Italian
slate. I've never noticed. I've never checked. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, some of them have those hidden compartments where they have the cash register and they have the drawers for the Apple Watches.
Which means they're even heavier.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Even more good luck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It won't be. You'll just be like,
You're about to regret this.
Yeah. The ideas seem better in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought this would be far more dramatic than it turned out to be.
So, in other news, moving on related to Apple, I bought an Apple Watch Series 3.
Yes, welcome to the club.
I know, I am part of the club. I ended up getting a space gray Nike watch with it. It's got the gray matching Nike band, perforated band, which I like. And it's a very nice watch. Now, of course, I've never had a previous generation Apple Watch, so I don't really have a good yardstick to gauge performance, because I know you were saying, well, you should really, I know the Series 3 is more expensive than the Series 1, but it is a lot faster. The battery life's better.
You get
GPS, and you get the wireless charging and other benefits. So I'm like, just screw it. It's a better investment long term.
Yeah.
I'm not going to replace this goddamn thing every year anyway. Mm-hmm. I might as well get the best one I can possibly afford right now.
Yeah.
I really like it, but I was expecting it would be a little more intuitive. And I say it as someone who knows technology very well, but there are some things about it that I think it's just learning the behavior of the way the crown works and just how to interact with it that I'm just not used to, because some aspects of it are very different than an iPhone.
Yeah.
So I think it's really just going to take me time. I'm sure within a week I'll start feeling very comfortable. Some of the things that are not so great right off the bat, I have to say, although the initial setup works really fast, the Apple Watch app on iPhone just seems kind of, it's not really fully integrated. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, why is it a separate app? Why isn't the setup integrated into iOS? And just some of the syncing stuff, it's a bit weird.
It can be a little glitchy for sure. Honestly, I think a lot of it is just because the first watch was really slow and a lot of the software was built around the fact that the watch had to use the iPhone for a lot of the processing and data transfer. So now that the watch has become a lot more powerful and as it's starting to become more independent from the iPhone, I think we will see probably in watchOS 5 in June, we'll start to see some of these things get improved and fixed as the watch is now capable of standing on its own. So we'll start to see some of those training wheels come off, and the watch will be more of its own thing.
Now, I wasn't clear on this, but does the Series 3 support wireless Qi?
Yes.
Okay.
And no.
Because the guy in the store was saying something about, well, it'll only charge with an Apple wireless charging mat or something like that. That doesn't make any sense.
So the Series 3 will be compatible with AirPower, which is Apple's Qi Plus specification. They are sharing it with the Qi group.
They built on top of Qi or something like that to kind of extend it and make it a bit better?
Yes, they extended it. And they are releasing those details to the Qi working group. So it's their hope that the next version of Chi will effectively be the same as Air Power.
So those changes have to trickle back down into the standards body.
Yeah.
So it sounds to me like you're saying that that could be addressed by software.
Possibly. It might require different hardware as well. I'm not entirely sure how the Air Power mat works. We're going to have to wait for an iFixit teardown when that
thing... When is that thing coming out, by the way?
It's coming out early 2018. Yeah. And speculation is it's going to be anywhere from $100 to $200.
Mm. I'll probably just end up getting the Apple mat anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it charges up to three devices, which is nice. Like, it'll charge your iPhone 8 or iPhone 10.
Well, actually, I only have one device to charge
Apple
wirelessly,
Watch,
which is my watch. So,
and it'll charge AirPods if you get the upcoming
wireless charging case, right?
Yes.
But wireless charging is still quite a bit slower, right? It's slower. I mean, it wouldn't be as fast as a fast charging.
The AirPower mat will be fast charging. Well, as fast as wireless charging can be. So the current highest wattage that wireless can go at is 10 to 15 watts. So that's faster than the default iPhone charger.
Well, it's for sure, but I heard that it's not as fast as like, let's say if you were to plug, I don't know, like if you were to plug your iPhone 8 via USB-C into an iPad charger or something.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, of course. Of course, it's not as fast as that.
But you're right. I guess pretty much. I mean, we're not setting the bar high. Anything charges faster than the 5-watt garbage.
Yeah.
Charger you get in your iPhone,
and it's ridiculous that they continue to include.
They got
to
do something about that.
Yeah, they really do. They need to at minimum include a 12-watt charger with the iPhone. Yeah.
But I think the problem is they don't want to make the packaging, the box bigger, right?
Well,
that's quite a bit bigger.
Well, that and a higher wattage adapter would cost more overall.
Yeah, but come on, it's Apple that's making these. We're probably talking dollars, a couple of dollars.
I don't know. Because they
make these things in such massive quantities, right?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I don't know what the bill of materials are, but I would imagine it's not that much more for them, their cost.
Honestly, I think at this point, the 5-watt is so cheap to make that to change it to something else at this point would actually add a not inconsequential amount to the bill per phone. Yeah, I don't know. Capitalism,
maybe they just
whatever.
Continue shipping that crappy charger until the day that wireless charging is the default thing out of the box.
Could be.
Right? And then they just get rid of the charger altogether.
Yeah.
They don't even ship it with that.
It's possible. Anyways, so Air Power is out early next year. The watch will work with it. The AirPod wireless charging case will work with it, and iPhone 8 and iPhone 10 will work with it. So if you have all three of those things, it'll be great. And then, assuming that the Qi Standards Group approves all of the things that Apple is suggesting, then future third-party Qi wireless chargers will support the Apple Watch as well. Though, they have tested some Qi chargers with the Apple Watch Series 3, and some of them do appear to recognize the watch. Like, the watch will actually pick up that it's on a charger. I'm not certain as to how well it charges the watch, though. So you'll pretty much want to stick with the existing wireless charging cable for the watch until Air Power comes out. Or until Qi gets upgraded.
I know I'm late to the game, but I just back to the Apple Watch for a sec. I used Apple Pay for the first time on the Apple Watch.
Oh, yeah.
Dear God, that was magical.
Right?
That was so nice.
And then you become that guy that pays with his watch.
Yeah.
And people go, oh, my God, that's so cool. I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah. On my iPhone, as convenient as it was, you still have to take it out of your pocket like you would a wallet.
Yep.
And I don't know how it works with the security, but I don't need to use Touch ID.
No. So
it's like already authenticated.
When you put the watch on and you put in your passcode, the watch is authenticated. The minute you take off the watch, it is deauthenticated. Once it no longer detects a heartbeat.
Yeah.
That's
that makes sense.
Yeah. So if someone were to rip the watch off of your wrist,
they can't just buy stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And even though there is minimal risk anyways, because most banks for NFC payments have a limit.
$100 limit.
Like mine is I can't tap more than $100.
Yeah, mine's $100 as well.
Yeah.
Which can be annoying sometimes.
Still to this day, I still forget most of the time that you can use Apple Pay for refunds as well, which is really cool.
Yeah, well, because the token, it corresponds to the card that you have.
Yeah.
So any transaction will work.
Yeah, it doesn't matter whether it's a withdrawal or a return.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I installed, once I got the watch going, I was asked to install Watch OS 4.1, which I did. And I read some of the changelog notes on that, but 4.2 is in beta right now. What does that give you?
So 4.2 adds a new radio app that lets you access Beats 1 and various other stations.
Mm-hmm.
Were
there corresponding, do I have to have the iOS 11.2 on my beta on my phone to somehow those are independent?
No. Yeah. 4.2 was with the 11.1 beta.
Oh, I see.
Because 11.1 just shipped.
Yeah. And then now they have 11.2.
Yeah, exactly. So 4.2 continues to be worked on.
I know we've talked about this before, but I'll just briefly touch on it. But it's no surprise to anyone, this is not news, that iOS 11 had some... it was a bit shaky when it launched.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people were complaining about the bugs, and it had bugs. And I guess it shouldn't come as a surprise, because any major new OS generally takes a few revisions to become super stable. But I don't remember iOS 10 being as frustrating as the initial version of iOS 11. Now, a couple of months have gone by. 11.1 just shipped, I think, was it this week or last week? And it did fix a lot of bugs. It is more stable. But I got to say, though, it's not perfect. And I installed 11.2 public beta, and it feels, there are a couple of things, it just feels more stable to me than the even 11.1, which makes sense because they're continuing to patch bugs. Is interesting. I thought they would have at least gone from an 11.1 to a smaller point release, but they're 11.2 strikes me as another bigger bug fix release.
Yeah.
They're really cranking these.
Yeah.
They really won't need to get this stuff fixed.
Yeah. Of note for this cycle, a lot of the development effort went into the iPhone X. This time around.
Right, with the notch and stuff like
everything,
that.
Everything, yeah. They completely re-architected the springboard, the app switchers.
Right, which we talked about before.
Completely rebuilt.
It was a lot of work.
Yeah, major parts of iOS were completely rewritten to support the new phone.
Right.
So, I mean...
Obviously, that has its risks. From a programming perspective, when you do stuff like that.
Yeah, any time you embark on a major refactor like that, you're going to introduce potential problems.
Of course, it can feel very liberating at the time where you're like, yes, we get to start fresh and do something really cool.
Yeah.
But it brings its own problems.
But yeah, focusing on such a large task like that, they weren't able to put development effort into other things like bug fixing and other areas of the operating system. So when they shipped 11, it was in a pretty dire state just because they'd been focusing on shipping the iPhone X stuff. And that's not just the notch and all of the refactoring. It's also Face ID and all of the stuff to support that.
Yeah.
All the changes to biometric kit. All the additions.
Yeah, it was bad. I had springboard crashes, app crashes, had weird layout, rotation, with the landscape portrait.
Yeah.
Things were just wonky.
All of that is because of the changes they've made to support the iPhone X. And now that the iPhone X is out, now that iOS 11 is shipped, they can now go back and focus on resolving all of these issues. So as each of these point releases comes out, we're going to start to see iOS 11 really come into its own and achieve stability. I think probably 11.3, 11.4 we will finally reach that point where all the iPhones are in a pretty good place.
So 11
point... into the new year, like January, February, I think things will finally just be really solid.
I think so too.
Across the board.
11.1, although it does fix a lot of issues, I feel like unless you like really, really need some of the features on iOS 11, and it does have some nice UI updates to it, if you're on 10.3, whatever the last update is, honestly, I would probably say just, and I even told my dad this, I said, look, you know, you're missing out on some nice improvements, but honestly, it's probably better to wait a month or two until, like, honestly, I think once 11.2 ships, once that goes GM, like, once we get there, I think it'll be okay for most people.
I think 11.2 is probably a good place for most people.
And I don't know if 11.2 will ship final before the end of, before the new year.
I am fairly confident that it will. I think it
December will maybe.
No, I think it'll ship towards the end of November.
Yeah, really.
And I'll tell you why. In 11.2, there was just a beta that shipped for the iPhone X, and it actually added some of the live wallpapers that they were using in the marketing. So literally stuff that they've shown on the iPhone X is in this new version.
Okay.
So I think we will see it ship sooner than later.
Right. Yeah, because they want people to have that.
Yeah.
That's what's advertised.
So then I think they will probably have some sort of more minor point release towards the end of the year. Like, let's say 11.2 ships at the end of November. Then they have a few weeks before the Christmas cutoff. So they could conceivably ship an 11.2.1 with anything critical before they close shop for
Christmas. Any security patches or whatnot usually tend to be in those types of...
Exactly. So they will probably have a final 11.2.1 release for the end of the year before Christmas. And then obviously Apple closes shop for the winter and they'll be back in January, usually the first week of January.
With the Apple Watch OS betas, do you tend to run those most of the time? Or, like, are you running it now?
Yeah.
The 4.2? Like,
yeah, I always run them.
How stable is... I mean, betas obviously come with problems, but do you feel comfortable using it on a day-to-day?
Watch has always been more stable, I think. Just because it's that much harder to fix if it gets bricked.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think the developers that work on watchOS, I think they are a lot more careful to not ship any serious crash bugs. I think it gets thoroughly tested just because, again, if it gets bricked, it is ridiculous to fix it. You have to go into the Apple Store.
You were telling me about this one time.
They have to like pin open the diagnostic port, and there's like a dedicated tool apparatus that does it. And
we were talking about this too, about the new Apple TVs like this, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Same thing. They took out the USB-C port, so it's a lot more difficult. So they have to be a lot more careful with the watch.
Not to mention, by the way, that, and I thought it was just me, but the watch OS update, installing it from the watch app.
Oh boy.
It took half an hour.
Welcome to my world.
Is that normal?
It is. It is absurdly
slow. Why is it so slow?
Because, and this again is an underpinning of the first Apple Watch and something that they'll probably address moving forward. The update process actually transfers the downloaded firmware from the iPhone to the watch over Bluetooth, not Wi-Fi, Bluetooth.
Bluetooth, and that's the fastest protocol we have.
The absolute fastest.
Best way to do that.
Maybe next year when it gets Bluetooth 5, it'll be as fast as Wi-Fi, but hopefully they'll add Wi-Fi.
Yeah, we're not there yet.
So, yeah.
Okay, so that gives me an answer at least as to... I thought something was wrong in my ETA, 33 minutes? What?
No.
I don't know how many gigabytes the update is. Maybe 4.1 was really big.
Well, the updates are usually on the order of like 20 to 230 megabytes.
So that's not big.
Like, it's never huge. Because, I mean, it's a watch. It's not running like Microsoft Excel or something, right? Like, it's displaying notifications. It has watch faces. That's about it.
I really can't wait for Excel spreadsheets on my Apple Watch.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait for Clippy to pop up on my Apple Watch.
That's a burgeoning market. Yeah. It's definitely going to be very
important.
It's a
bit of a niche now.
I'm tempted.
I am tempted to install the Watch OS 4 beta.
Yeah.
Here.
I say go for it. It's been fine on my Series 3.
Where are we with the public betas on the 4.2? Are we in the first beta or? I'm on the public beta.
Watch does not have public beta. Watch is developer only.
Are you sure about that? Because when I installed the iOS public beta again on my iPhone, and it asked me if I wanted to install the profile on my watch.
That profile is only for iPhone.
Well, it gave me the two options. It said install the profile on watch or iPhone.
That's what it does with any profile file.
Okay.
Like if you open a profile file on an iPhone and you have a paired Apple Watch, it will ask you which device you want to put it on.
But that has no impact on the betas. You
need the specific Apple Watch profile.
So I guess I was actually trying to figure this out today. So how the hell do I play music on my Apple Watch right now on 4.1?
There is a music app.
There is a music app. By the way, I'm a sadist and I'm looking at grid view.
Oh, God.
You know what? I actually find it faster sometimes, though, to find if you have a lot of apps on here.
Yeah, it can depend.
Because going through the list can be a little slow.
Yeah.
But I find myself going back and forth between the grid view and the list view. So where's the music app on here? I know it's on here. Music app. Let's see.
So the music app in the previous versions of WatchOS, it...
Chill Mix. What the hell is this?
It basically streams directly from your phone, I think.
Favorites mix. Oh, I do see some recently listened to albums on here. It just asked me, it tapped on the music and it said, choose where you want to play the music. And it said Apple AirPods.
Yeah.
That's cool.
4.1 added Apple Music in the radio app. 4.2 is just bug fixes.
This is water resistant too.
It is waterproof.
Is this the one that actually ejects the water from
the series?
So I could go swimming with this.
The Series 2 started with the ejection, but the Series 3 is even more waterproof to the point where they are confident that you can go swimming.
Apple Store employee actually was wrong. He said it was water resistant, but it's actually waterproof.
Well, I mean.
It's weird because he told me water resistant, but then he said, well, you can go swimming. I'm like, water resistant watches are not technically supposed to be submerged.
So they have to be careful about how they describe this stuff. So the actual spec for water resistance,
it is up to a certain depth, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean,
why don't they just call it waterproof up to, like, water resistant is like, well, it'll survive rain, but it's not going to survive.
Well,
a dive at the pool.
It resists the effects of water. Yeah. Like waterproof implies you could dive all the way to like a kilometer and it would be fine.
Isn't chlorine bad for the watch? And like, wouldn't that discolor the band and everything?
No, I think they've deliberately formulated the aluminum to not corrode. Yeah.
Like even the silicone band shouldn't have an issue in
there. No, the fluoroelastomer should be non-reactive. Right.
It's not like you're in a pool submerged for 10 hours. You'd be a wrinkle prune.
Yeah. As far as I know, it should be fine in a pool. So to wrap up, you will grow to love your Apple Watch, I'm sure. It does take a little while to get used to, but once you do, you'll just be like, this is awesome. Especially once you start getting into the fitness tracking. That is such a huge part of it.
I have, I consider myself a, like, reasonably healthy fit person, but I do find, even though I do a lot of stretches during the day, I am trying to stick to the skid. Well, two things. When it tells me to breathe, I'm trying to do that as much as possible. I mean, I can't do it in some situations, but I'm also trying to, although I do get up and stretch often, having the watch remind me is actually making me do it even more.
Oh yeah.
I think in a couple of months, going to start seeing an impact once I can track that stuff now.
Yep. It's
and,
huge.
And look at that. I'm not, the activity app is a little, the UI is a bit confusing. I'm like, I don't know what these rings are. It doesn't seem to, I'm not sure what it tells me. But,
so move is how many calories you burned in a day.
It like it all it shows me is like a pink, green, and blue ring.
Yeah. So
and like I tap on it, nothing happens. I don't know what this information means.
So pink, the pink red is move. That's how many calories you burned. Green is exercise, which is how many minutes you've exercised today.
Exercise meaning that could be like
moving around, walking, running, okay. etc. Yeah. And then blue is how many hours you've stood for at least 1 minute in a day.
Can it? I wonder, I mean, if I hop on my skateboard, is it going to consider that exercise? I wonder.
Yeah. Like you're moving, like you're.
Oh, here we go. I actually had to, you know what? I had to force press to get more information. That gives me the weekly summary.
Yeah.
And the change move goal.
Yeah. And now that you've paired an Apple Watch to your phone, the activity app is available on the phone as well.
Yes, I did. I did notice that. Yeah. So that's cool. I'm going to, that's great. I'm going to have to report back on
it. And of course, all of that data is synced to the health app as well. Yeah.
Now, the health app, I wasn't clear if the health app actually gets synced with iCloud, because I thought at one point when
it
first came out, it didn't.
It does now in iOS 11.
Part of CloudKit, I guess, now.
Yeah. It's fully encrypted. Apple doesn't have access to it. It's stored in your iCloud.
That's the HealthKit is the new API.
Yeah.
Right? So I guess that's part of it.
Yeah. So now all your health data will sync to iCloud if you enable it. So in iOS 11, if you go into your iCloud settings, it's there.
It's really cool to see all these services kind of finally coming together. It's almost like they're not designing them in a bubble.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? Yeah, it's almost like a proper online ecosystem now. So yeah, you will definitely grow to love the watch as I have, I think.
I think so too.
And
I'm currently using the, what is this watch face called? It's one that shows a lot of information.
Modular.
On it. Modular. It seems to be pretty popular.
That has the most complications out of any watch face.
It has a lot on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do like it because I've got Fantastical at the top left. I've got my 24-hour clock. I've got the weather. It shows me the city I'm in. The weather. It shows me the high and low.
Yeah.
And then there's the quick access to the breathing app, activities. And I think the heart shape is the heart rate monitor, right? Yeah, it's just resting heart rate. Oh, according to this, I'm dead. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So anyways, to wrap up, as for the iPhone, I will continue trying to get one.
Yeah. Let's hope next week there might be some good news
to share with
everyone.
We'll see. I remain optimistic.
We all want to live vicariously through you.
Mm-hmm. My quest continues.
You've been listening to the Impromptu on Hologram Radio. I'm Alex Knight, joined by Michael Norton, as always. If you'd like to show your support for this podcast and the work that we do here, the single best way to do that is to go to patreon.com/hologramradio and donate today. Subscribe to the podcast in iTunes to ensure you get every new episode each and every week. And do leave us a review if you have a moment that makes us feel good, as well as helps other people find the podcast. We're also available in Google Play Music, TuneIn, and Stitcher as well if you'd like to stream it there, and wherever else you can find podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter. We're at The Impromptu. Michael Norton is at Zen Impulse. I'm at Zero Distraction. And if you'd like to send us feedback the old-fashioned way, you can email us at theimpromptu@hologramradio.org. And that will go to both myself and Michael.
And on that note, thanks for listening, everyone. See you next time.